I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? Danny, take it away. We still got to do the intro.
Hey, this is us. This is us online. Candace online. Danny online. Paris online. Haley online. There we go.
With you guys in quarantine. Never thought that this would be our scenario for This Is Us, or for anything for that matter, but we're so glad we're here. We're talking all about episode 17, y'all. Hey. We're almost there. It was after the fire, and it was fire, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think Haley agrees with me on that one. We're going to try and run this show just as regular. I know it's a little bit different format than you're used to, but just bear with us. I'm Candace Cruz. Thank you so much for joining us. And I am joined with my lovely panel right here. I think he's below me, Danny Royce, host of Inside Pro. And to my corner, I don't know if I'm pointing right, but I think so. Miss Paris Rose, unpopular opinion.
Hello, missed you guys.
Well, Haley might be the unpopular opinion on this one. That would be Miss Haley Grace. All right, guys. So overall thoughts, what are you thinking?
Oh, wow.
Well, you know what? I like this episode.
Okay, Paris, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I really like this episode. I really liked seeing Randall go through his journey through therapy. And I really liked that this therapist called him out and continued to challenge him. At first, I felt like she was a little aggressive for a therapist, but I feel like it was a therapist that Randall needs. So I really appreciated everything about this.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was gonna like the episode, but after going and all that, I was like, I have to agree with Paris. I was like, this is it's a fun episode. It seemed more like a kind of like a filler. I kind of got that vibe from it, but I really did enjoy seeing his journey and him being challenged, like Paris mentioned, and also getting to the root of the situation, the root of the problem of why Randall's the way he is. And so I was like, okay, that's fine. I can work with it. And it was cool seeing Jack, like, what if Jack was here? Because I always thought, what if Jack was here? So
true. Haley, I want to hear your opinion.
Okay.
I know we talked about it earlier. You were not a fan.
I just didn't like this episode. Mostly, like, it was okay. I didn't dislike it as much as last week's episode. But this episode for me was just, I'm never a fan of these what if scenarios. I think it's almost a waste of an episode because we know the reality. Like, there's no sense in teasing us into these scenarios. I will say that I like how the writers did it in this case where it was actually relevant. I went into this episode thinking it was going to be basically a wasted episode where we just get to imagine if Jack was here and that was going to be it. But I liked that there was a point behind it. However, I'm just over Randall and his storyline. I think this kind of brings us to a stopping point, and it does give us something to talk about. And the fact that I didn't entirely see that this is where his anxiety was going or really rooted or pulling from. So that was unique to it. But then my brain is like, well, is this now just what we're going to keep talking about, or is it finally done? So it was okay for me. I just didn't love it.
I mean, I agree with you in some points, Haley. I personally did like it. But just because I think it's interesting in a different way of, like, we all have these ideas right in our head of, like, if I would have done, if I could have done something differently, how would my life be different? Sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. And I think that we sugarcoat things so much when we go back on certain situations in our head of, like, if I would have done this different, it would have been better. So I really like that she kind of grounded him a little bit. And I do
props to the therapist. She is the one who sold this episode.
Absolutely. I mean, I love how tough she was. She was like, listen, you're glorifying all of this. And also, I mean, we'll get into this a little bit later, but I didn't think it was going to end up all rosy and happy go lucky the way that Randall laid it out to be, you know?
In his first scenario,
I was like, this is a little unrealistic. Like, this is too, like, no one's life is this, like.
Right. Well, you know, we saw, like, that's how it would have been if Randall got his way. If he, like you said, he fixes things. So if he got his way, that is exactly how it would have played out, which was all, you know, rosy and fun. But that's not the real scenario. As Haley said, she likes the realness.
Well, I do think it sets us up to see a lot, like the last tail end going into next week's episode. And I've even seen some articles about it saying it's going to be a crazy show. But I think the best way to break it up. Wait, say that again, Danny. I missed that.
I'm here for it.
All day. I think we should break it up by, there are three scenarios, right? In his life. So I figure we can go through each of the scenarios of like his rosy dozy, happy go lucky. We can go through.
Keep going, Candace.
Sorry, we're getting some feedback. Now we got our giggle boxes turned upside down. The second one would be if Jack would have lived. And it was a different scenario, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a third option?
I think there was this too. There was kind of just like the rosy. Two. Yeah.
The positive one and then basically the doom one.
Yeah.
And I think I was putting like the regular lifeline in my head.
That makes sense.
Right.
Write it down by that and then we'll do the first two scenarios and then we'll talk about like real life. And the ending and going to news and predictions. So let's start with his figmented Jack living situation. The first one.
The first one annoyed me so badly. Like I was where Haley was at because I thought this is so perfect and unrealistic. Everything works out perfectly. And they do address it at the end. But I thought it was interesting how immediately after the fire, he, you know, Rebecca feels this immense guilt and immediately tells Jack about what happened. And I was waiting for Jack to have a normal reaction. She lied all of these years. And he was just like, okay, let's just tell Randall. And it was all so perfect. I was like, then they opened the door and I'm thinking, okay, won't William be an addict still? But he's great and sweet. He's the William that we know. And I was just like, so everything is going to just be amazing here. So I liked that eventually they got called out because I was not feeling that storyline at all.
Right.
Disney to me.
Where did he actually go to school? Did he go to Carnegie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did regardless?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
But I think, but again, because I have the same thought. I was like, is that where he actually went to school? But in real life, I think he actually chose, and we've never known this to be his decision as to why, but I think he chose it to stay home and take care of Rebecca.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that it was very Disney-like, but it was fun to watch. Like I wasn't completely against it just because I knew like this is all in Randall's mind, so we're just gonna ride along, right? But I wasn't sold on it, and it wasn't realistic. The reactions weren't realistic, and as you guys said, the therapist was like she was in it. My sister's a therapist as well, so, and she's hard just like that. So I was just like, go get it. And Randall needed that. Randall needed someone to slap him. Like I wasn't completely against besides Beth.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You're paying a lot of money to have a therapist. Like, I don't want someone to just be like, yes, it's exactly how it would be. I want someone to be like, no, this is not reality. Like, this is not happened. And I really, I don't know. And I also didn't think that her conversation with Jack was going to be about Randall and his dad. Tell me why I thought that conversation was like, I cheated on you or I wanted a divorce or like all these worst case scenarios went through my head about the conversation. I had no idea it was going to be about like Randall. I didn't know where it was going.
Right.
I just didn't. I don't think that it, it just got too perfect too quick, right? So like Jack, even when they're in the car, they're talking and they're like, I don't feel comfortable with you being around someone that's still using all this other stuff. And yet he still lets Randall go to him. And knowing Jack through everything, through all the scenarios that we've seen him in, the real life scenarios that actually happened, he would have never let him continue to go see his dad at that situation. Like he would have waited a while, and I'm sure he would have opened like his arms and like allowed all of that to happen eventually, but it was just too perfect too quick. Like I didn't like it. And then like the quickness of scenarios of like his life was going to work out the same way with Beth. They bonded over the fact that they both lost their fathers. Like right. Their relationship was even going to work out through that, because that's what they bonded over at first. And he was a little arrogant, dare I say, in both of these scenarios where he was just not grounded. He was very like, my life is perfect.
And for me, I don't think in this first scenario, the thing that was the most like unrealistic was really, because he was even still rude to Rebecca, even in this first scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Watching it back, it's like, wow, they gave it away really from the beginning. I mean, they were doing a strong effort of making sure we knew that Randall was upset with his mother. And I don't think that Jack would have tolerated it.
No.
Like,
no, definitely.
In either scenario, it was just very strange the way Randall in his mind created the way Jack would have handled it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says a lot about how he also, again, like how we always said, viewed his father. And so that's what was really to me.
Isn't that interesting how we put our parents on a pedestal so much? Like Jack died prior to anything bad really happening in their relationship, right? He only, unfortunately, only had his father for 17 years. And because it was cut so short, he sugarcoated everything bad that happened with Jack and made it as if he was like the best person in the world. And we all know that he had his faults, right?
Yeah. The only thing that made the whole, just in line with what you're saying, the Jack being understandable about William being an addict is because of Jack's flaws. I mean, he is an addict, and Randall made a point in his mind to point that out to Jack and remind him, well, you're an addict too. And I think that would have resonated with Jack, and he would have been like, yeah, you're right. We have our flaws. So I did kind of feel like that part would have been realistic. But I also feel that it's just any loss. And when anytime someone loses someone, that person, you just remember them for the greatness that they were. You forget about all their flaws. If you were mad at them, you forget about it. You just remember them being so extremely perfect. And I don't know if that's a bad thing. I just think people want to have happy memories.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, if I would have said that to my dad, he would have been.
Well, you're an addict. I wouldn't have been here talking to you.
You don't get to tell me that. You don't get to say that.
Right.
Hey. Or say it that way.
And guys, while we're talking about this, I also do want to give a shout out, because I still am in the chat. And so we have Christina Fletcher and Ellen with us. We know we love Ellen. And she wanted to point up the fact in the first story. She was like, also, Randall can't stop stomach cancer. Sorry. As much as he wants to, it's just not realistic. And that is another very, very solid point from that first story.
Also, but Randall fixes everything, guys. Guys, come on.
I mean, even the therapist was like, I'm sorry. You think stomach cancer?
No.
Right.
Oh, even like, protecting
and
him from not going into the house.
Yeah. Were you gonna say Haley?
Oh, I just said, and she says good morning from Australia. So that's pretty cool.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys are doing over there. Gosh, this whole everything is just so crazy right now. But at least we have This Is Us to distract us, right?
Randall's story.
This Is Us without singing Danny's song in their head, because I hear the words This Is Us and my brain immediately goes to it
every time.
Clearly we need to work on our dance moves though, Haley.
Yeah,
that's the new theme song. It needs to be the new theme song for next season.
It needs to be ours. Well, I mean, I think we are all in agreement about the first scenario, is that it was just so like beyond picture perfect, and he left all the bad parts out. Like, There was no bad parts. Life was just story, perfect as can be. Good for
him. Although it was like picture perfect and all that, I do think it was needed because, I mean, us, you know, as humans, we always think like the best case scenarios, right? Especially like when we lose someone, it's like we want to play out to our favor and we want to have control over the situation. So it definitely showed a natural part of the grieving process, I think. Did it go too far? Maybe in some instances, but I think overall it was needed for the episode to kind of go around.
Yeah. Also, did anybody else pick up on the ominous, like very poignant moment where Jack and Randall had this moment that she's forgotten her phone twice?
Yeah.
I'm like, gosh.
They like looked at each other.
Said that.
Literally, okay, that was your part in all of this with Rebecca. We remember.
Right.
So when she lost her phone, you picked up on it, Randall. We get
I love that eye contact. They were like, he lost the phone again.
Yes, it was like very soap opera-y. It was like, dunk.
Right.
Eye contact. She forgot the phone. Oh my gosh. But I guess we can hop into the second scenario because the first scenario is obviously stuff that we already know. You just plug Jack in. Happy.
Yeah. Well, first of all, though, how do we feel about old Jack? How he looks?
Oh, how do you?
I know. We finally got to see old Jack.
How do you feel about how he looks?
I honestly thought old Jack would have been a little bit more handsome.
Oh. I don't think he's handsome at all.
I don't think
Milo will take him. I'm happy about that.
What?
I could have thought they could have made him a little more salt and pepper, but you know.
Also, you got the whole thing going on.
He was old. That's all.
He was old. Mandy Moore does as Rebecca at that age, though.
Because Mandy Moore looked older,
like 60 something, and she's supposed to be 70 something.
Yeah.
And then Jack actually looks like he's 70 something, and you're like, okay, that's yeah. Yeah, sure. Many more.
He did drink
very
a lot.
Well.
He did drink a lot. So,
oh, you know, true. Also, going into the next scenario, he was drinking again. Did anyone catch that?
Yes.
He was an addict. Yeah.
Like, or it's like because he essentially, what I took out of it was he almost stopped fighting for him and Rebecca's relationship after she
told
him. Pushed her away, and I feel like his alcoholism, one of the things that always kept him away from it was his relationship and his fight for Rebecca and their family. And after that, I guess it just drove him back to drinking, and that was just the sense that I felt in that scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a little annoyed with Jack in the second scenario because I thought the nerve of him. He's really upset with Rebecca for holding this secret for 17 years, which is awful. But like, did he forget that he was still holding his brother's secret forever? Like, he never thought to expose that he has a brother that's alive, and he knows he's alive. He knows where he lives. So I know this wasn't real life. But in the fake scenario, I still was very pissed that Jack could make Rebecca feel so guilty when he's doing the exact same thing.
And for me, that's what bothered me the most about this scenario too, was because, like, let's be honest, the Jack that the writers have built us up to see, that just wouldn't have been his reaction. Could he have been disappointed? Could they have had that fight? Absolutely. And I liked the realness in that scene, but for him to take it and completely let it destroy their relationship, like that
was not the Jack. Like, no.
Like, that's just what I was like, okay, no, like this episode is trying to do too much now because that, like, they're like, literally, it's like, hey, what could be the worst possible thing that we could show fans? And this, that would be it. And so I was like, that was when I was like, all right, nah.
Yeah.
I was just saying the therapist did say, you know, what did she say? The word she used is like something that would you be fearful to see. So I guess this is all of his perspective of like the most fearful scenario or scary scenario. I was kind of upset that Nikki was not in any of the scenarios. I was like, he kind of just forgot about Nikki. Where was he in the wedding? All that stuff.
Oh, well, I guess we never found him because Jack would never let that secret.
Right.
Yeah, I guess, true.
Also, can we talk about can we talk about the fact that in his most fearful version of his life, of how things could have gone, it's that Kevin is getting appreciation for his relationship with Sophie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The wedding, all that stuff.
They switched roles completely, the two of them.
They switched roles, yeah.
100%. But before we go
into Randall was like a little player.
Yeah.
like realistically, like that really does almost even tell more about Randall and his relationship with Kevin and where they're going than anything else. Because
yeah,
the fact that that would be his one of his biggest and most worst fears he could think of would for his brother to basically have the life he has. Like, that's horrible. You should want your brother to have the same life as you. Like, you should be happy for him.
Oh, the judgment that he holds is very, very strong. But before we go on, obviously, Haley, you gave a segue and I lost it because of this whole like situation, but you were like, they're doing the most, but AfterBuzz is doing the most.
Oh, we are doing the most. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's super crazy to think about a week ago today. We were all still in the studio. I was in the studio as late as Thursday night. Things in our world have definitely escalated, but because Maria and Kevin do such a good job taking care of us and taking care of our super fans, the show must go on, even if it's in from all of our random crevices of our household. we just really appreciate you guys sticking with us. We know the schedule is a little wonky. We will do our best to keep communicating with you when we'll be taping, since next week's finale is so big. And not even that, all the shows you're watching right now, I promise something that's on air, we have an after show for it. So just make sure you're tuned in to our other stations, other shows. Keep watching. I don't know if Danny's doing Black Hollywood Live, but stick with that. And we just really appreciate you guys.
Thank you. We're actually on hiatus for right now. Celebrities don't want to come out, but it's okay.
But that means we can just go back and watch all the episodes and rewatch it.
We know binge season one.
We know you have time, and I know that you guys are binging TV. So go hop over and watch all the after shows. We still love our TV, clearly, and we're here.
Hey.
Yeah. But okay, so I really liked that second scenario just because I didn't like it. I just like talking about it.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for Rebecca though.
I do too. Okay, like poor Rebecca, she tried her hardest. And honestly, like I was pissed at Jack. I was pissed at Randall. I was just mad at both of them in these scenarios because, like, Kate and Kevin aside, like the three of them were so close prior to, and like someone was saying earlier, I think it was you, Haley, or Danny, about how they've presented Jack previously, he would have never, ever done that to Rebecca. They would have had their heated moments, of course, but would he have held a grudge that long? No.
And especially when she was like trying to just communicate with Randall at dinner, and he was like, whatever, he basically belittled her in the rudest way he possibly could have. And I was furious. I was just like, no, like Jack would have never, ever allowed Rebecca to feel that way.
Absolutely not. He would have never done that. He would have never made a scene like that. He would have held it together. He would have convinced Randall to stay whether or not he liked it. And like, it just, the Randall that we see was so polar opposite.
Oh my God.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
Like, presentation, his demeanor, like all of it. And I understand that people get angry at their family members and we all have our issues, but like to be that completely different from your core from 17 to now is just boggles my mind.
But I will say, I do feel like it could be somewhat realistic that Randall, you know, he gets so mad because he meets his father after all this time, not knowing that his father is around. And then his father wants nothing to do with him. I could see him just wanting to run off and go to Howard, which is an HBCU. It's a historically black college. And like really getting into his black culture, because now he knows nothing about his father. So I can see him really getting into his black culture. HBCUs are so like black and proud that I can feel him going home and feeling like, well, who are you people? I don't even know you. You're not my family.
And I did like that.
Being really realistic. I also like this Playboy Randall. He was looking like bae, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, oh, Randall. Yes, with the two earrings. I mean, listen,
he looked like bae, but he was not acting like a bae I want. Let's just put it that way.
I think Randall, the Randall now needs a little bit of that Randall in him. You know what I mean? Just like a little bit.
A sprinkle. Taste,
a little sprinkle. You know what I mean?
Randall don't wear glasses in his scenario. He's got
vision cleared up.
His vision probably cleared up, or he was fine wearing contacts. And the two earrings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Ben liked a little bit of that, Randall. Just a little.
Cool. Cancer, he cleared up his vision.
Magically. Maybe the fire is what caused the vision to fail.
Come on,
Kim. I also found it really crazy that Randall thinks that if he went to the hospital with Rebecca and Jack, that he also could have saved him somehow just by being at the hospital. That, like,
his mere presence.
That's a reach. That's such a stretch.
Like, how confident in yourself and how highly do you have to think of yourself to actually think at 17 years old you could have played a part in helping that situation? You know, like, I respect the therapist in this scene because she was just like laying it down, like, no, I'm sorry. Like, that's not correct thinking. That's almost insanity. You know? Right. It's almost like he's been doing the same thing over and over again and just expecting a different result, and he's never gotten it. And so it's just like, no, like, yeah. That whole part, again, I was just
not. It was a widowmaker's heart attack. Like, he would have had something come up a lot. Like, I also found it fascinating that Jack lived to the full capacity of both of his, like, scenarios.
Yeah,
I agree
that Jack died another way. He already had a pre-existing heart condition that no one knew about. Who's to say he wouldn't have just died from a heart attack, like at the dinner where he was giving the toast, or at the dinner where they were all hanging out? And, like, regardless, we cannot think that, like, if it was his time, it was his time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he can't control that scenario of thinking he's going to live to that full.
No, I do like that you brought that up, because I almost wish that the writers would have incorporated the therapist talking about a scenario like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what if he passed away when you were in your 30s instead? Like, what if he had passed away, you know what I mean? Like, in different phases, like, it still would have probably affected you the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, you still would have somehow blamed yourself because you ultimately just like to fix things. So I wish that they actually would have done that too.
And going off of that, I find it fascinating. Even when he's talking, he's like, I've lost three parents already. And I was like, wait a second, one, two. Oh, no,
yeah.
I was like, wait, where's the third? But then
who is the third?
The mom. The mom.
The third parent. But I also think it's fascinating that he was like, I can't lose another. Boy, you're going to lose another.
Right.
It's inevitable. Like, you are just perpetuating what is going to happen.
Inevitable.
And what bothers me so much is that going into, like, real life, is that he essentially guilt trips Rebecca into doing this.
I was annoyed. Heated. Oh my God, I was pissed off at that part.
I was mad.
She even said in the previous episode, she wants to spend her last moments with her family. You're going to go against her last wishes just to make her life be prolonged when it's inevitably still, even if you go to the
trial,
St. Louis, the trial, like, who's to say that the trial's going to work? She could die faster. Or she could lose her time faster. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's selfish. Sad because
it's like an obsession that he has, and it's selfish. And it definitely foreshadows what him and Kevin, like, that's going to blow up, because once the siblings find out what he did, I would be livid at my brother.
Yeah. And during that phone call to Rebecca, she kind of looks around, looks at her family, and they're laughing, having a good time. And I just feel so bad for her because she has to toss all of those precious moments out to please this one son who's being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I feel like, oh, I wish one of them were around to hear this conversation, to cut it out.
I know. I almost kind of thought that Rebecca was going to stand her ground for a minute.
Right.
She was going to be like, Randall, I'm sorry. You have been a good son. You've done everything for me, but this is still what I want out of my life. Like, what happened to Carpe Diem, Rebecca?
Yeah.
Like, that just went out the window. I mean, like, I'm sure it's very difficult to, like, hear your child, the one that really has been kind of your rock throughout a lot of your life, like, to hear him pleading and begging and crying. But, like, you still kind of got to do your job as the parent and say no when it's necessary.
Yeah, that's very true. She just, I don't know. And she's going to resent him too, if she remembers, that being said. But like, I would resent someone like talking me into a corner completely like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a random stat before I forget. It's really random. Sorry. But Kate, in the second scenario, why does Randall feel like Toby can't be a part of Kate's life?
Right.
If they did have Jack.
Oh, that's a
totally different husband.
Why does she all of a sudden have twins?
Daughters.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what's going on?
Where's the correlation? No, like having Jack around means no Toby.
Yeah. And also, no Jack with the eye problem. Like, who's to say she would have had a normal pregnancy with another person? Like,
yeah.
The issues lasted with her having Jack, we're going to be the same issues regardless.
Yeah, like, he didn't change the way Kate was.
No.
And, you know, he didn't, in this new world, he didn't change, like, all of her health issues. So, like,
I was wondering if that was going to happen, if we were going to have a different Kate.
Agreed. Like, because I almost was wondering. Yeah, I almost was wondering if it was going to be like a scenario where he almost had like the perfect version of his siblings. Because yeah. I feel like that would have been his biggest fear.
Yeah. And then also like with Kate, like if Jack would have lived, would she have gotten to the point that where she did with like her weight? We've already discussed this. We obviously know where we stand on this. But like she gained so much weight after he died and because of her ex that was abusive. But like, right. Who's to say that abuse would have happened if she was with Jack?
Right.
If Jack would have been around, she would have stayed like healthy. She would have like seen the representation of a father in her life. She wouldn't have had to replace him with a bad person. She would have ended up with a better person. Like, would Kate be the same Kate?
See, it's almost like I almost wish in a sense that this episode, truthfully, now that we're talking about it, I would have enjoyed this episode if the therapist somehow would have been like, hey, call your brother, call your sister, get him in here. We're all breaking down this.
Right. Yeah.
We're all going to talk about it and get through it together. And then each one of them would have had their own what if scenario, because I think that also could have helped Kate. And especially with what is going on in her life right now too, you know, for each one of them to be able, and for as a fan selfishly, like I would want to know what they think their lives would have been like.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting how they just chose to focus on Randall though. I was kind of like, okay, here we go, another Randall episode, but I'm just, I mean, I guess we'll see what happens next episode. I mean, this all ties
together. A lot of Randall, and listen, I love
Randall, a lot of Randall,
but like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm just plain tired.
It's not us. Our group chat right now, everyone is from Jamie Reddick saying, I need a break from Randall. He's wearing me out. Everything, same mood. She also said, Randall, the world doesn't revolve around you. Sorry, not sorry. So it's not just the four of us guys.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, I still feel like the writers are trying to paint him in a picture perfect way, right? They're showing the anxiety, but at the end of the day, they always like he overcomes it. Everything is still like hunky dory. And I think they're still painting him as the better brother.
Yeah.
Until that last phone call.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they almost villainize him a little bit, because that's kind of where it's going. I hope that the blowout is as big as we're hoping and like leading up to be, because if it's not justified and it's just him being in a pissy mood and like being his anxiety ridden self, I'm gonna be very upset. I really want something to be like, okay, Randall is not as perfect as we've led him up to be throughout all these other seasons. He's a human,
right.
Falls, like, let's.
Like, yeah, I almost would have rather them taking the turn of Rebecca telling Randall no, and then us having to go through Randall A, being told no, and then Randall having to come to terms with not only his anxiety, his inability to fix this situation, but then also really have to learn how to live with his anxiety, because right now it just continuously feels like they're just putting band-aids over things. Like he figures out an issue, he puts a banding over it. Because like even in this one at the end, he was like, oh, thanks, Doc. I'm glad that we figured out like where my resentment lies, like where this is all coming from. But then he still didn't even address it.
Right.
That means calling Rebecca was addressing it. I thought it really hit him and he understood what was happening. But then calling Rebecca and forcing her to take this trial, I was like, so he learned nothing.
No,
right.
And he's hearing what he wants to do still. Like he's constantly like playing in like, okay, she's telling me to rectify the situation. This is fixing it. Like, this is me telling, like, even by him saying, I have to live with myself by saying that I fought for something for so many, like as much as I could. Is that really fighting for it?
Right.
I don't know.
Also accepting it and moving on with your life is a way of still fighting for it.
I wish Beth knew what Randall was about to do, because she was so proud of him for having this epiphany, but I don't think she realizes really what Randall was going to do with this epiphany. Mm. I feel like if he had confided in Beth, she would be like, this is not your choice, Randall.
Yeah,
but
no,
of course she doesn't know.
I am so glad you brought up Beth, because I forgot that I wanted to give her kudos to young Beth in the first scenario.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Place. Like, I was like, okay, thank you. Like we said last week, we want more Beth. We got a little touch of Beth.
A little, very little, but at least like the same Beth that we know and love. She wasn't changing and flip-flopping and all this other stuff. That's all I can
say. But like, Candace, just to play on what you said, I feel like Randall was kind of villainized in the last episode. I wasn't with you guys last week, but I hated him after last episode.
Oh, yeah, you should have. I mean, Paris, you should have seen me and Candace. We were like watching it and we were like, so mad.
No,
Yeah, it's slowly happening, especially after this this episode. I think it's going to be, this definitely leads to a blowout. And I just feel like, after this episode, we're not going to get any more Randall. It's going to be the big three. And then it's going to be, I actually thought when he called Rebecca, he was going to talk about the situation. And then he totally flipped that on me. And I wanted her to say yes, because I felt like that's where the conflict lies. And we're going to have a lot more meatier substance next week. So yeah. I was like, say yes.
Well, guys, we do have to start wrapping up. So we're going to go ahead and do our news and gossip really quickly, go into our tearjerkers, predictions, wham, bam, thank me.
So
wham, bam, thank you, man.
Super quick. Just it's really playing off of what we are talking about next week's episode. People got an exclusive. Chrissy Metz called next week's episode a real doozy. And then also Milo was saying, I don't know if there's a word so much as just get ready. Just get ready. He said the episode is heavy, it's beautiful, and it's really incredible. And it's also called Strangers Part 2, which essentially they're saying that next week's episode will like expand the storylines that we saw actually in week one of season 4. So
well, come on, bring it, don't let us down now.
Bring it. let's go Well, let's do our tearjerker moments before we go into our predictions. So clearly we are on a TP shortage, y'all.
That's...
a Kleenex shortage, just calling out the obvious. So we're going to
use my shirt.
We can do our fingers.
Yeah. So for all of you guys that have been watching this entire season, we have our tearjerker moments. Obviously, we're not using tissues, but we can still cry just the same. One being a aw, heartwarming, and a 5 being a
that was a good one.
That was. I had to throw in the sound since we're limited on our sound effects today. All right, guys. So who wants to take it away?
I'll start.
Yeah.
I'm going to have 2, and it's Randall's phone call to Rebecca. I felt really emotional for Rebecca, like what we talked about. I was so sad that she was cornered into saying yes, and that look around the room, I felt like she was like, I still don't want to do it, but I'm going to say yes for my son, and I really felt for her. So I got a little like, damn it, Rebecca, stand up for yourself, and it made me, you know, feel a little warm inside for her.
A little fuzzy.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll go. I'll do a 1. I felt inside. When Randall said he was going back to DC, he was leaving, he left the dinner table, and then Jack and Rebecca had that exchange. Nothing, no words, just all feelings and looks. And I just felt for her when she fell apart at that dinner table.
Mine is a 2, and it plays off of Danny's, actually. Mine was also at the dinner table scene, but it was in scenario one, when right after Beth talked some sense into Randall, he went back and they were talking and he finally noticed his mother's face and realized what he had been doing to her. And then he encouraged her to kind of be a part of the family again, basically, and tell a good lighthearted story from her perspective, which is like one of the best parts about her. So that one made me feel all good inside that he was able to kind of right the wrong in that moment.
Mine was also a scenario where you could see Rebecca's pain, just because at the end of the day, I think she was doing what she thought was best for her son and just protect him. And we also saw, like, when she was talking to Jack, she, in the second scenario where she said, I knew that we would do what you thought was best. So clearly there's like knowing that she wouldn't have really had a say. So he would have probably just been like, no, we need to tell Randall. So I think in her heart, she really just believed she was just protecting everybody. And when he was packing up for college, said, like, no, there's not enough room for you. I'm sorry.
Ellen quickly said that her tearjerker was in the second scenario when Jack was trying to convince Randall to forgive Rebecca because it had 30 years and she wasn't well.
Yeah.
And Thanksgiving.
That was a long time.
Yeah, I know. Thanksgiving. I'm glad they kept that tied in there.
There were so many moments that were just like, there were a lot of moments that were like little tearjerker moments just to see that scenario play out. Well, do you guys have any predictions before we wrap it up?
Quickly, I just think, Quickly, I just think that soon Kevin and Kate will know that what Randall has forced Rebecca to do, and they're going to not be Team Randall, and it's going to be the demise of the big three.
Ooh.
Sticking with my Sophie prediction. Yeah. You guys, for nothing. They don't keep teasing us.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think Rebecca's going.
All of you that I'm right. Rebecca's going.
I think she says she's going, but she's not. I think the other two are going to team up and say, nope, she's not going.
Ooh. Guys, I don't know. There's been so many different things. Like, I predict we see a lot of new people.
Yeah.
Go figure, strangers. Right. And we're leaving it, like a lot of people have been saying that it's unfinished or incomplete, is what you were telling me, Haley, that some of the stars are saying it's incomplete. I think we're going to be left with the biggest like hang off that we had going into next season, because there is no way that they're going to be able to put everything that we want in this last episode in an hour. There's just no way. So I predict that we're going to be wanting more.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that's it. That's all. Thank you guys so much. I miss you all of my people right here and all my people out there. Please just stay safe and healthy. Continue to quarantine yourself and take care of yourself and take care of everybody. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. If you watch me through here when I accidentally touch my face, I freaked out. And make sure to follow us on all of our social media. We will still be there. We'll be binge watching other shows, chatting about other shows, and talking about This Is Us. So you can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Hi, guys.
And I'm Rose.
And you can find me. You can find me on Instagram at Paris Rose Paris with two R's.
And you can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce.
Haley.
I just know I'm last with this one, guys. You can find me on Instagram, Haley Graves with two S's. That's HaleyGraveSS. And on Twitter, Haley one, Graves two.
We teased her last week because we all do the hand motions every time now. So we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.